Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the San Francisco 49ers Extra Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono.
You don't have anything. You can't escape. Take the sack, live to play another down, and move on.
We're also joined on a regular basis by 49ers quarterback C.J. Beathard.
Being the backup quarterback, you've got to prepare as if you are the guy because you're a play away from being in there.
49ers Extra is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play in the home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Coming up, we'll talk to Steve about the 49ers' 43-16 loss in Seattle. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America. And that didn't surprise me too much because I love the majestic layout and beautiful amenities. My San Francisco resident card gives me a great rate at TPC Harding Park, and I get to play where PGA Tour icons Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods have played. Now, if I can only score like them, okay, I'll stop dreaming and get to our guest. Well, Steve, the 49ers horror show in Seattle continues. They really struggle playing the Seahawks. I mean, they've lost 10 in a row overall now to Seattle. They've lost the last eight times that they've played in Seattle, and they just can't even keep the games close. This one was tough to keep close when you have so many turnovers and you don't force any takeaways. So even though the 49ers had a lot of yardage in this game, they just couldn't really stay in the game with all those turnovers. It was really a shame.
Yeah, it was, and you look at the team stats. If it didn't show the score, we win.
Right, there's a lot more yardage. Right,
I mean, we got a lot of yards. We did good on third down. I mean, got a lot of penalties. They had a lot of penalties, but I would say obviously tough place to play. Not just for the 49ers, for everybody. Definitely a 12th man element. And then I would say Seattle, I mean, they made big plays, period. They really didn't do a whole lot. Not that they weren't efficient on offense. They were, because they made big plays. But statistically, we crushed them. Other than three turnovers and a defensive touchdown and a pick six. I mean, like Schottenheimer used to say, offense don't screw it up, defense will win the game.
Speaking of Schottenheimer, yeah, they had Brian Schottenheimer.
They got Brian Schottenheimer, yeah.
Yeah, Schottenheimer is the offensive coordinator.
Coordinator.
And then you got Kyle
yeah.
Shanahan, so you got two sons of former head coaches that you played for both, right?
I did. Yeah. Yeah. You know what? Brian will be, he'll be a head coach someday. I think he was playing at the University of Florida. Maybe it was Florida State. Actually, they both may have even gone to the same school. I'd have to look that up. Now that I'm thinking about Brian, I think Kyle went to the University of Florida also.
Kyle was Texas, though, wasn't he, for a while? Or I don't know if he
transferred. Oh, maybe.
He was Texas, but yeah.
But I... Okay. Anyway, I think he started at Florida, honestly. I have to look that up. Anyway, Brian, I think he'll be a head coach someday. He's got a good feel. Oh, I was going to say that, he was around a lot. He was maybe just out of high school when I was there, and obviously, being at home with his dad and talking football all the time, he seems to have a pretty good feel for it.
Yeah, and they had a really good running game, and all year they have. They're the number one rushing team in the league, and they ran for 168 yards in this game against the 49ers. So, I mean, I guess when you see that you can do that, you don't need to throw it a lot. They only had 17 attempts for Wilson and four touchdowns on 11 completions. I mean, that's an interesting ratio right there.
That's a very interesting ratio. But, it was big plays. I mean, there were two or three plays that I can think of that – guy was wide open. They weren't necessarily all touchdown throws, but somebody that was the deep cross. you know, then that deep corner that he throws for the touchdown. So just big plays that really hurt the 49ers.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about one of those plays because Kyle Shanahan referred to it when he was talking to the media, talking about a cover three that allowed Lockett to be one-on-one with a linebacker, Malcolm Smith. And anytime that happens, a quarterback, his eyes have to light up. I mean, you know that receiver is going to beat him, and he did for 52 yards and a touchdown in the second quarter.
Yeah. So did Kyle say that they were in cover three on that play?
Yeah, that's what he said. If I got that right.
You could be right. They replayed that play a couple times on television, and I guess it was cover three, but the corner had a deep route, so he had to take it. The left corner from the Seahawks perspective. So the left corner had to take a deeper route. The safety bites on a seam to his right, and then the way that Lockett came in, kind of came in through the middle and then a crossing route. It reminded me of something we used to call all go special, and actually that may have been, now that I think about it, that may have been what the play was. I wasn't thinking about it. Because Brian Schottenheimer, he runs a lot of and uses a lot of the terminology, you know, West Coast terminology that he learned from being around us, being around Paul Hackett, you know, being around his dad. You know what? I'm gonna have to go back and look at that one now that I'm thinking about it. That it might have been what we always called all go special, and that basically was you're holding the left corner in a cover three. It was a cover three play. You're holding the left corner with a deep ball. You're putting two guys onto the free safety. And basically, you're throwing off of him, whoever he doesn't take. You have one guy who's kind of bending across the middle, kind of a seam route, but bending to the far hash, and the other guy who's running the near hash, and then, and you know, out of a trips formation, and then the outside guy's running a post on the right corner. So, if you get cover three, almost impossible to stop it, and you end up having a linebacker running with that guy. With that guy going to the far hash.
Yeah, so, I mean, and you got an easy touchdown there. There were other mistakes in this game, too. I mean, you think about the muff punt by Richie James that Seattle recovered.
Covers.
And then they scored right away. Next play, Penny with that run, 20 yards, boom, touchdown. I mean, that's right at the beginning of the third quarter. It takes the wind out of your sails.
Yeah, you get an 85-yard kickoff return.
Right.
After a field goal, I think it was.
Yeah, I think that was after a field goal. So yeah,
so, and they go right in and score, and then you of course, and at the end you get the pick six, which makes the score look even uglier. I'm trying to think, was there a punt return?
There was I don't know about a punt. There was just the kickoff return.
I thought they scored once though on special teams.
Yeah, I don't know if they scored on special teams.
Maybe not. Just the run back.
I wanted to talk to you about that Bobby Wagner 98-yard interception return, because when I watched the replay and I saw Jeff Wilson, who by the way had a pretty good game running the ball, and then he got hurt. Breida got hurt. Everybody's hurt. But when he went out for that pass, he kind of spun around. I don't think he helped out Mullins very much. And then, of course, he threw a little bit behind him. And then Wagner picks it off and goes all the way.
Yeah, interesting. So I was driving to the city when it was live, and I was listening to it on the radio. And Tim Ryan commented right away that Mullins was looking right, and then spun back, without bringing his eyes first, and the linebacker, you know, he got him. I mean, he hoodwinked him basically. When I got home later that night, I watched the second half. I had seen the first half, so I watched the second half, and I watched it a couple times. That ball needed to be on the backside shoulder, on the right shoulder of the back. I mean, it's experience versus inexperience. Bottom line, I mean, yeah, he's got to bring his eyes first and see if there's a linebacker there, you know, try and get it in going low and away or high and outside kind of thing.
Yeah, too dangerous to throw it anywhere close
to
Wagner,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. It seemed like that was kind of the, you know, that was the progression of it. Mullen's looking right to see, okay, if I have, I don't know exactly what he had over there, but, you know, if he had some sort of a corner arrow route combination, okay, I'm looking there first. If I don't have it, I'm coming back to the back inside as my check down. He just didn't bring his eyes and register first that the linebacker was close enough to cover him. And it wasn't the best ball. The bottom line was it wasn't a great ball.
One of the real bright spots for the 49ers was the play of Pettis. I thought Dante Pettis really had a great game. He had over 100 yards receiving. He showed his athleticism. He had a couple of touchdown catches, 75 yards, 17 yards. What do you think about this kid?
He's good. And I was commenting to Christoph last night or the night before. No, it must have been last night when we were watching the other game. I was like, gosh, you know, we need Pettis back there to return punts and kickoffs, but he's too valuable now. We need him playing receiver. Because he is good, and every time they show him, you know, how he gets open on replays on television, boy, he's good off the line. He gets that little kind of a little not a, a hesitation, I guess, more than anything, where he freezes the guy, then he goes and runs good routes, comes back to the ball. He's going to be really good, and we need him. I think, I mean, going forward, it's Pettis and Bourne. I think those are, you know, probably your the third being just drew a blank on his name. Number 11.
As far as wide receiver. Oh, well, Goodwin, he's coming
Goodwin.
Back. Yeah, and he's going to be back for the next game against Denver.
Yeah, I think those three guys going forward are your – I think those are your guys.
Yeah, and Kittle as a tight end has been
Kittle,
really the MVP
with,
of the team.
With,
really.
I mean, yeah, Kittle and Breed are offensively the MVPs. I love what he's doing. He can go get the ball. You can tell he was a good center fielder. I mean, he can run and track a ball.
Yeah, like his dad, Gary Pettis. He was a gold glove center fielder.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He knows how to go get it.
Yeah, let's hear what Coach Shanahan had to say about Dante Pettis.
Dante's got a lot of talent. I think you guys just asked about Jeff Wilson, what took so long. And it's, I mean, these guys are straight out of college and they've had a lot of success their whole life. And sometimes they take some time to get to be ready for the NFL. And I thought Dante came out pretty ready. I always want them further along than they are. But when he had that injury, I thought he got set back a lot. And sometimes Dante works hard. But sometimes guys got to learn how urgent the NFL is. And it's not a lack of him not knowing. It's just a lack of experience. And that's sometimes some things a lot of rookies go through. And usually they learn it. And if they're talented enough and work hard, they have a good career. And some of those guys who don't learn and never have that urgency, they miss their window and people move on. And so I've been definitely riding the heck out of Dante because we believe in him a lot. We know he has a lot of ability. And you know, I've told him the last couple of weeks he's taken a huge step forward, but don't get that confused with you've arrived. It's just a couple steps forward.
I love that statement there at the end of it. Don't get it confused with that you've arrived. And what about the urgency, Steve, that he talked about? What does he mean by that?
The urgency of just how much faster the game is than college.
Yeah.
I mean, every guy is bigger, stronger, faster, period. It's the, you know, every guy at every position is the best player that you've ever played against in college.
Right.
So it just, the game just happens. It just happens faster. Now, one of the other things that, that came to my mind while Kyle was, while you were playing that clip, is on the, I'm going to say on the reverse side of that, because now, Pettis and Wilson, their development is a little bit set back because they were hurt and they haven't played every game this season. The positive to that, if there is a positive, is at this time of the year for the rookies, they're exhausted. Their season's over. What they're used to mentally and physically, their season's over from college.
Right.
But and this is the time right now, you know, kind of the end of the third quarter of the season for rookies, they're physically and mentally finished. But I would say because they were injured and they had some rest in kind of the middle part of the season, they're going to be more fresh for the fourth quarter of the season, and I would expect good things out of both of them for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, too, when you think about the rest of the year, about evaluating players, because that's what Kyle Shanahan has been talking about. I mean, obviously, you're out of the playoff race, so it's sort of different the way that you play. I mean, when you're being evaluated, I'm not sure. What has been your feel when you were on a team that was out of it like that?
You're definitely, you know, trying to be at the top of your game. I mean, end of the season, you're 2-10. You know, motors in the cars are running. you know, but there's, you know, everybody's playing for next year. If you're, I'm not saying that he's not playing his best, but if you're a 13-year veteran or 12-year veteran like Joe Staley, you know what you need to do. But you're not necessarily playing for next year like Dante Pettis or Wilson are. You know, they're playing for more playing time next year. And they're going to get tons of I hope they both get a lot of playing time the rest of the year, cuz obviously we already talked about Pettis, and I like what I saw from Wilson running the ball, running hard, and
yeah.
I also thought that he caught the ball pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely had a lot of desire.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I'd love to see that a little bit more. Now, don't get me wrong. I like seeing Breida in there as well, because I think they complement one another well, and I like that they both catch the ball well.
Yeah, I love Breida. I mean, I just think he's so exciting. It's too bad he's been banged up with the ankle, and he's going to miss the next game against Denver, too.
Oh, is he out for sure?
Yeah, he's out, and Tart is out as well. Goodwin coming back, so that's good news.
Tart, that shoulder has been just killing him this season.
Yeah.
Because he's become a good player.
Oh, yeah.
We need him in the secondary.
And that, they definitely do, because secondary definitely has not had a great year. I mean, I know there were some calls that were questionable, but sometimes, I mean, they're just their technique where they got their hands on the shoulder, and it's making it tough for the officials to just make the obvious call, I guess.
Yeah. Back to your point of there were some calls – pass interference calls I thought that were very questionable. That one down on the goal line.
That was a Witherspoon one on Baldwin.
Yeah. I thought that was terrible.
Yeah, well, the fumble too, the Wilson, I didn't think he fumbled, and they called it a fumble on the field, and then they couldn't overturn it because the evidence wasn't enough. But to me, it just didn't. I didn't see him fumble until he was down or, you know, he was stopped.
I thought he was down.
Yeah.
I thought he was definitely down. There was another pass interference. I thought kind of middle of the field. I don't remember what point of the game, but I thought to myself that's a heck of a play by the defense back. And it might have been Witherspoon again. There were a couple that I was.
There was a Williams one too, Kwan Williams. So
maybe that was it. I don't know. The whole pass interference thing just bugs me.
It's so inconsistent is the biggest problem.
It's so inconsistent, and I think they need to They also need it needs to be called less,
yeah.
Because or they need to change it to just a 15-yard penalty. The Tom Brady get the guy 1-on-1 and just launch it, and you'll either 50% chance he catches it, or 50% chance he gets a pass interference. But the other thing I think that they need to look at is the ball catchable?
Right.
I mean, they do, but I think that's got to come into play more.
Well, what about the back shoulder? I understand there's an accuracy to that. There's a technique to that. But sometimes a quarterback will just throw it short, knowing that, if my guy doesn't come back and get it, he's going to get a penalty.
He's going to
draw the penalty, yeah.
Exactly. So I think that is the ball catchable has to come into play more.
Yeah, I agree.
And then the other thing is, are they both hand fighting? I mean, there's hand fighting going all the time, but if they're both doing it, then to me, whether the ball is catchable or not, there shouldn't be a pass interference penalty.
No, I agree.
I mean, but I think the catchability needs to come into play more.
And this is coming from a quarterback too. You're a quarterback. Yeah.
These balls are launched. These balls are launched, and there's no way the guy's going to get to it.
If I was talking to Ronnie Lott, I would expect this. But you're being fair about it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's been driving me crazy watching.
Yeah, me too.
Like I'll sit there and Christoph and I'll be sitting there watching the game. Like that should not be a pass interference penalty.
I agree.
They're both hand fighting. And
I agree. 49ers Extra continues right after this. There's more to tell you about as far as my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. 49ers fans from outside the Bay Area, listen up. TPC Harding Park has a great deal for you when you are planning your trip to Levi's Stadium to see the 49ers. While you're in town, take advantage of Golf the Gridiron, featuring discounted tee times and free club rentals. Visit tpc.com and click on special offers for tee time deals at San Francisco's own TPC Harding Park. We've been gone about 20 minutes here, and we haven't really talked about Nick Mullins, which it really means that I didn't think the quarterback had that much to do with this loss. I mean, he had that interception we talked about, but it wasn't like you could say Mullins played terrible. He threw for over 400 yards. I mean, that's the first time since 2004, Tim Rattay, that a 49ers quarterback went for over 400.
Tim Rattay, there we go.
Yeah.
So I don't think number 13.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, your number. I don't know that we can say anything bad about him.
No, and he threw for 65%, 66%. I mean, 30 for 48. I'd take that all day.
Right. So there's not really going to be a quarterback change. That's one thing.
The only thing, okay, because they were behind, they had to throw the ball 48 times. If you're winning, or if you're in a closer game, then, hopefully it's a little bit more balanced. Where they're throwing the ball 35 times and running the ball 30 to 35 times.
Right.
48, that's getting, in my mind, that's getting a little much. That means you're having to play catch up. But, no, he made one big mistake, but that didn't change the game. They weren't going to win. It just, like I said earlier, it made it look ugly, the score. But he throws the ball nicely. Ball comes out of his hand nicely. It's in the right spot most of the time. The only thing I would continue to work with he and CJ on is this whole backing up thing. They're not getting up in the pocket. And I get that
they're not stepping up. Is that
they're not stepping up into the pocket? Tim Ryan, he talked about it in the game that, okay, we know that Nick Mullins does not have escapability, but whether you believe that or not, he's going backwards. And I talked about this with CJ, where their feet are going backwards and they're trying to make throws. Well, those throws aren't going to be as accurate.
No,
you know, and it's going to get you in trouble. You're going to have these huge losses on sacks, whereas Mullins gets stuck at the top of his drop, in my opinion, whereas when he hits that back foot, he needs to go forward. You know, that first progression is the first step. The second progression is the second step. A third progression is your check down or I'm getting the hell out of here.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's the way it is. So I'd like to see, you know, if I were coaching him, I would be just continually working on get up in the pocket. That's what I see getting them in trouble.
I can see what you're saying, because I visualize. I'm thinking about Big Ben, Brady, all those guys, Aaron Rodgers. Or, you remember Peyton Manning, the way they used their footwork and they would step up and get into the throw.
Yep, you got to get up in that pocket. It's the safest spot, you know. And the throwing lanes are in there and the running lanes are in there. So when you're backing up, it's not really nothing but trouble.
Couple more things before we finish up. First of all, Richard Sherman, just the whole thing, you know, the dialogue coming into the game about being disrespected and all that. You know, you go against a former team like that. I mean, I guess it could be kind of difficult if things didn't end the way you wanted it to with a team, and then you're facing them, right?
Yeah, but yeah, come on, you know, take the higher road.
That's what I would say. That's what Russell Wilson did.
Yeah, take the higher road and go up there and. You know, just go up there and prove that you can still play during the game. Don't say a word.
Yeah, I agree with that. And the other thing I wanted to ask you about is just, you know, what's going on in the league right now, because we got Kareem Hunt and that situation where the Chiefs ended up releasing him. And, you know, more and more we see, you know, video, and not just in sports and everything. I mean, there's video everywhere. You can't really get away with anything. So when you see something like that, I mean, it seems like players should take note. Hey, let's be a little smarter. You know, same situation with Reuben Foster. Just be smart.
Yeah. I mean, what they've done or what they've been accused of doing is unspeakable. Bottom line. Okay. I'm not trying to defend the other part. I don't know if you've seen the Kareem Hunt video.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard some backstory. Obviously, he didn't handle it right. He's wrong, and he admitted that he did the wrong thing. You know, from what I heard about the backstory is, you know, he started doing the right thing and getting two underage women out of there.
Right.
And then what I heard was said outside the door was not good on their part, and then he snaps, which I get. But, you know, at that point, then just call the police and have them removed.
Yeah.
You know, he did, like I said, he did the wrong thing, no question. He's responsible, shouldn't have done it. And I get the Chiefs releasing him right away. They said he lied to him, and I think that's just with back to your point with video of all these things, you're going to get released right away. You're guilty until proven innocent because we have video.
Right, but you also have to be careful because, look, Joe Mixon is playing in the NFL, and there was video of him. Now, that was before he played in the NFL, but still, you know, he punched that woman when he was at Oklahoma, and now he's playing, and, you know, so it is tough to figure all this out.
It's a very delicate situation. You know, Ruben, I think that, you know, they had a understanding, and between he and he and Lynch and Shanahan, and he didn't live up to it.
Right.
And so, you conduct detrimental to the team, you got to go.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's there can't be any gray lines.
No, I don't think so.
It's black and white.
I agree on that one. Game against Denver on Sunday, you got to be ready for that one. This team's hot. They've won three in a row. They're six and six now. Now they're in it. I mean, it looked like they were out of it. Now they're in it. There's been a few teams like that, you know, they get hot, and then the next thing you know, they're in the race here. So Denver's coming in ready.
Yeah, they are. And like I said, playing well. Niners, they got to figure out a way to win, possess the ball on offense, and they need to get some pressure on the quarterback, which they haven't done the last couple weekends for sure, to help out the secondary.
Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully force a few turnovers this time.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what we are, negative 20 something.
It's just brutal. Season. It's one of the worst. It might be the worst.
One of
the
worst
right now.
I think I've ever heard them mention. Yeah,
that's how you're going to lose a lot of games. So 2-10.
Yeah. I mean, that's point at that, and I would. That's probably one stat. You know, I'll give Schottenheimer credit.
Yeah,
that was one of the things. That was one of the two things. It was always field possession and turnover ratio.
Yeah, that you look at that in every game. It's important.
Pretty. It's probably 90%. You know, win or lose, depending on which side of the ratio you're on.
We had a stat on that in our game on Sunday. We did Cleveland-Houston, and Cleveland turned it over 4 times, so they were -4. And teams with -4 or worse had a record of 4-1-81-1 since 2009. I remember that. It's still in my head. 4-1-81-1.
So that's 85... 80, let's say 80 games for easy math. So one 20th.
Right. It's like a miracle if you win, basically, under those circumstances.
Yeah.
So
that's
avoid the turnovers. All right, Steve, thanks a lot. I appreciate
it. Carry it like you're carrying your life.
Exactly, like you're carrying your life. Have a good week, and I'll talk to you next
week. All right, sounds good.
That's former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. We'll talk to him again next Tuesday after the 49ers face the Denver Broncos at Levi's Stadium. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to 49ers Extra on thesportsvirus.com.